If you've ever asked a girl in your life, how was your day, and you've gotten a one-word reply, you are not alone. The good news is that there are ways to connect meaningfully with girls so that they feel understood and heard, even in difficult moments. I'm Megan Murphy, Global Executive Director of the International Coalition of Girl Schools, and this is an episode from our audio short series called The Grown-Up's Guide to Girls. We aim to provide practical tips and advice from an expert guest in each episode. Today, we're tackling how to talk to girls who don't want to talk, especially in an age of digital disconnection. We'll be hearing from Anne Muno, an expert voice in this subject and someone who has made girl justice her life's work.
Hi there. My name is Anne Muno, and I'm the Executive Director of Justice for Girls and author of Powerful Girls, Raising Strong, Just, and Compassionate Young Women.
It is a challenging time for many adolescent girls right now, but Anne is finding a lot to motivate her. So we know that independence is important for development, but what are other reasons why girls might retreat from us, emotionally or socially, during adolescence? Anne has some ideas.
I found in my work that girls sometimes retreat emotionally or socially because they're navigating a world that can be, let's face it, fundamentally hostile to their authentic selves. The culture around them doesn't actually invite genuine engagement. It punishes it. Think about what girls are dealing with. They're acutely aware that society places diminished value on their contributions, which erodes their confidence in their own ideas and opinions. They're absorbing sexism and racism as unconsciously as they breathe. They're watching their leadership aspirations, which start out strong when they're younger, decline as they get older. Retreat doesn't look the same for every girl. For some, it's going quiet and withdrawing physically, spending more time alone, disengaging from family conversations. For others, it's performing a version of themselves that keeps them safe, outwardly succeeding in school, getting good grades, seeming fine on the surface, but internally second-guessing every decision and betraying their own values to fit in. For some girls, especially those who've experienced trauma or violence, retreat can look like acting out. Girls face rigid norms that expect them to avoid conflict, are given no outlets, and then they're punished when they display any kind of confrontational behavior. So when we see girls retreating, whether through silence, performing a false self, disconnection, or acting out, we need to understand that they're protecting themselves in a culture that hasn't created safe space for who they really are or what experiences they don't yet have the tools to make meaning of. That withdrawal or acting out is a survival strategy, not a rejection of connection. And it's usually not personal, and we shouldn't take it personally.
Connecting with adolescent girls has been further complicated by the fact that much of their social lives exist online. So how can parents and caregivers navigate this?
We adults in girls' lives need to think about how our own relationship with devices and social media is playing out. That is the low-hanging fruit. Girls are incredibly perceptive. They notice when we're scrolling through our phones during dinner, when we're distracted during conversations, when we say social media is toxic but spend hours on it on ourselves. If we want girls to have healthy boundaries with technology, we need to model that for them. And that might mean putting our phone away during meals, having device-free time in our home, or being honest about our own struggles with social media comparison or doom scrolling. But it's not only about modeling usage boundaries, it's about teaching critical thinking skills for media consumption too. Media significantly shapes how a girl perceives herself and forms beliefs about her choices. So media consumption without critique can seriously limit a girl's beliefs about her power. you can support her in understanding how mainstream media promotes a limited range of choices for girls, how it teaches them to value appearance over authenticity, how it perpetuates negative girl culture by showing girls competing rather than supporting each other. Overall, I think the key is to help a girl think about consumption, but also critique without actually alienating her. Don't just warn about dangers. Acknowledge what's compelling about these platforms and talk honestly about both benefits and costs. You can ask her to share empowering examples of media representation that she appreciates in the media she's consuming. You can engage in constructive analysis rather than direct criticism. Girls need us to be authentic guides who teach them to think critically, not hypocritical gatekeepers who judge them for their media consumption without understanding.
Getting monosyllabic answers from our daughters and our students, well, it can be frustrating, but forcing conversation, that is not the answer. We may need to adjust our tactics and expectations slightly.
Start by creating more side-by-side moments, I would say, just kind of chill times where you're doing something together that doesn't require intense conversation at all. Driving in the car, doing a puzzle, cooking together, going for a walk, doing a craft project. These activities lower the pressure and often lead to authentic sharing. Be present without an agenda. Sometimes just sitting in the same room while she does her homework or scrolls her phone sends the message, "I'm here if you need me," without demanding interaction. I would say share something about your own day or your own struggles without expecting reciprocation. Model vulnerability without making it about extracting information from her. And respect silence. Not every moment needs to be filled with conversation. Sometimes the most powerful message is, "I'm comfortable just being with you, even in quiet." But here's also something that's crucial. Sometimes that silence signals something deeper. Sadness, confusion, overwhelm, fear, or yes, sometimes anger. And whatever the emotion, staying connected means not being afraid of it. This is where I think many adults, including myself, struggle, because connection doesn't just mean being present in the easy moments. It means staying present when things get uncomfortable. When conflict arises between you and a girl, or when you notice conflict between girls, resist the urge to smooth it over too quickly just to ease your own discomfort or ignore it. Name what you see. A helpful role you can play is to channel disagreement toward deeper understanding and really lean into those moments. Or girls will learn that conflict avoidance is valued. And this matters deeply because girls are already socialized to suppress difficult emotions and avoid conflict, which only makes things worse over time. And when you do witness a girl expressing a hard emotion, for instance, like anger, which, by the way, I think is often the emotion adults are most uncomfortable with when it comes to girls, work with her to reframe it rather than judging it as a negative emotion and shutting it down. View it as important information and an invitation for growth. You can really validate her anger and support her in developing healthier ways to express and manage it. You can invite her to understand what's beneath it. And by helping her see all her emotions, including anger, that these are valuable signals rather than something shameful. And when you're doing that, you're doing two things at once. You're staying deeply connected to her real experience, and you're teaching her that healthy expression of feelings is a part of healthy relationships. That's how you stay connected even in the hard moments.
So let's say we've done everything right to set up the space for gentle presence, and it feels like asking a question might work. What kind of questions can invite dialogue?
The questions we ask can either open doors or close them shut, and they need to connect a girl to her values, not ours. Instead of "how was your day," which usually gets a one-word answer, try questions that invite reflection on values. What mattered most to you today? Or when did you feel most like yourself today? Instead of things like, are you okay, when you sense something's wrong? Try, I noticed you seem quieter than usual. What's on your mind? Here's what's crucial when we are inviting a deeper dialogue. Help her name her personal lexicon of values. Ask questions like, what values guided that decision? Or when you think about the kind of person you want to be, what qualities matter most to you? Values literacy is crucial to a girl's sense of power, and it needs to be coupled with understanding that her actions, when she's acting from a place of her values and her belief that her values are important, that makes a real difference. But it's also equally important to respect her boundaries. When she expresses values that are different from yours, be aware of your reactions. What signals do your body language, facial expressions, or words convey? Recognize your triggers and keep digging for her values, not imposing yours. Ask things like, what makes that important to you? Or how does that choice reflect what you believe in? Other questions like, what do you think about that? Or what do you need from me right now? Signal to her that she has agency and you are showing up with presence, not pressure to be a certain way. When we combine genuine curiosity with respect for her values and our own authenticity, I think we create the conditions for real dialogue.
We've heard how challenging communication can be between grown-ups and girls, and sometimes that means doing our own work to stay curious, reserve judgment, and lead with respect. Next, Anne shares what she's learned after decades in this work, the core principles that make all the difference when it comes to raising and mentoring powerful girls.
My three top tips for connecting with girls meaningfully tie together everything I've shared with you, and they're grounded in some guiding principles, I think, for raising powerful girls. First, remember that a girl's power is personal. It's about developing her sense of agency and a belief that she has a right to use her agency in her life, given her values, identity, and community. Refrain from projecting your experiences onto girls or making the assumption that she experiences or feels things the same way you do. Second, help her use her agency to create healthy girl culture around her. When a girl develops her sense of agency and that belief that she can make things happen, she can actively reshape a girl culture in and around her in the spaces she inhabits. Support her to be more direct with people she's in conflict with instead of using gossip or the silent treatment. Encourage her to be more inclusive, to notice who's being left out and pull them in. If she's feeling left out herself, help her see that she has agency to put herself out there more. And third, be someone who keeps showing up, especially if and when she pushes you away. And recognize that socializing a girl to access her power is dynamic and nonlinear. This time in her life, she is testing boundaries and relationships in the spirit of, I do believe, wanting to keep connected to the people around her. And she needs to know you're not going anywhere, even when she's not at her most agreeable or lovable. Consistency and presence, I believe, build trust far more effectively than any kind of grand gesture or perfect words you can say. Teaching her the healthy girl culture codes by modeling it ourselves. And I think if you're feeling humility and discomfort, if you're asking yourself, what self-work do I need to do to show up this way? Or how can I support a girl in healthy conflict while I'm still learning how to do that myself? That's a great sign. That self-scrutiny about how you show up in relationships with girls is the work you will always be doing. It's never finished. But here's what I have learned after 30 years. This work transforms us as much as it transforms the girls we raise and serve. And that's exactly as it should be.
Connection doesn't always sound like conversation. Sometimes it's just showing up again and again. Creating safe spaces goes a really long way. It can feel challenging to navigate this when all we want is to feel that connection with our girls. Maybe it's about presence over perfection, though, and trusting that our efforts do make a difference. Thank you so much for tuning in to On Educating Girls audio short series, The Grown-Up Guide to Girls. If you like this, you will love the full episodes of our podcast, where listeners are offered resources, language, tips, and programs for educating and empowering young women by those who educate, work with, and understand girls best. If you're a regular listener, please help others to see this content by sharing, leaving a comment, or a 5-star review. For more information on girls' schools and the International Coalition of Girls' Schools, please visit us at girlschools.org.